Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hallelujah, everybody. I want to welcome you to another episode, another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, August 19th. And it's crazy to think about how quickly this summer flew by, has flown by. I mean, if you think about it, 2 weeks from today is Labor Day? What? 2 weeks. So, I bet you some people down south are thinking, yay. Me? Oh. You know why some people are yaying probably? Because that means it's going to start cooling down. And I'm not ready for that yet. In fact, today was just beautiful. Picture perfect. Sun was out all day. I was out at the city pool today for a while, and I didn't see the sun, I didn't feel the sun go behind a cloud once. Usually when I'm there, it'll go behind a cloud at least once, twice. I don't usually go, though, on the days where it's exclusively cloudy. By exclusively, I mean those days where it's not sunny. But today, it was just beautiful. The projected high was 82. It went up to 85. But the humidity was low enough that, honestly, to me, it felt more like 83. Same to you? More like 83, maybe?
I don't know. By the time it felt pretty hot, I mean.
But that's the being in the sun thing, though.
Yeah, the sun.
In the shade, though, I would have said more like 83.
Yeah.
You would say minus at least 1 degree from actual temperature?
Yeah.
Yeah, by that I mean the apparent was at least one less. The apparent is the feels like. And then, yeah, 85 felt like 84. But I want you to realize something. Some of you may know this, others of you may not. Did you know, listeners, that in weather forecasting, when they talk about the weather, when they project the day's highs and lows, when they report the temperatures, those temperatures are all taken in the shade. Every one of them. Whereas, if you go by the bank, those thermometers, I believe they're on the sun, aren't they, any more often than not?
Yeah.
That's, now, listeners, this is why there's a big difference. And this is why when they say it's going to be a high of 84, you should really think of it as, if you're going to be in the sun all day, that it really means it's going to be a high of 88. Or 87. Even 89, if it's a day like today, don't you think?
Yeah.
Or do you think in the sun today it could have pushed 90?
It could have pushed it for sure.
As far as how much more over it? By pushed it, you mean like right at the door and possibly at it. Probably not over. At the At the fair, I would have said the feels like would have been 90. But when it's 90 at the Midland County Fair, when the temperature is 90 elsewhere, at the Midland Fair, for example, it feels more like 100. Like, unsafe. So as it gets hotter, like at least at the fair, it really multiplies it. I mean, I was out there Saturday night and Saturday morning, and it didn't feel that bad. Part of that has to do with humidity, too, though, I'm sure. And that day I'm thinking of last year, it was kind of humid a couple of the fair days last year. And that really makes the difference, I think. If it's not humid, then at 90 it would still feel rough, but not the same. But speaking of fair, Midland County Fair is in the books. And I actually got to meet a lady, her name is Melinda. She worked one of the games at the fair. And she would always say, water, 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 water farm, water, water, water gun fun. Water, grab a seat, grab a fun. Grab a seat, grab a gun. It's time for fun with the water gun. And I had actually heard that lady when I went to the IX Indoor Amusement Park in Cleveland back in April. So I told her who I was, and I asked her, you know, I remember hearing your voice, or a voice like yours, at the IX Center. She's like, you know what? That was me. And then she basically said, furthermore, what were you doing at IX? And I basically told her, well, I'm from up here. And I proceeded to inform her that it was the biggest carnival put on anywhere that I know of in the springtime. And I told her that, and I proceeded to inform her that the Midway now at Midland Fair is nothing like how it used to be. I don't know if she knew that before I told her, but she knows now. And it was pretty cool that I got to meet someone that I had seen at another spot. Because in the carnival industry, they will call the places where they set up shop and conduct their carnivals, they call them spots. And now they are in Flint, actually Mount Morris. And you're not going to believe what today was, Annie, there for rides. Dollar Day. Midland needs to take notes on Genesee County Fair doing that, don't you think? I do. My hope is that they will take notes on that. Because there were only three really spectacular rides there at the fair. Three. That Star Dancer, the Himalaya, and the Starship 2000. And then there was three swing rides. And there was a Tilt-A-Whirl and a Sizzler / Scrambler and a Tornado that wasn't even that much of a thriller. And so I think it's time for some changes on that midway. Maybe a new company, maybe a new something. But oh God, I went. Fair food. People may think I was kidding last week when I said I think they should do an all-you-can-eat wristband for the fair for the whole week for food. I was not kidding at all. All I got was a corn dog and some fries. I didn't get an elephant ear. I didn't get those cheesy fries. There's a lot of other really good fair stuff, fair food that I love a lot. Listeners know that baked potato isn't one of them because it doesn't have a coating on it. Because though you said fries aren't exactly breaded, that I think in my mind they do have a big coating on them. A lot of times when you deep fry stuff, doesn't some stuff when you deep fry it just naturally develop a coating?
Yeah.
Is that what happens to the fries?
Yeah.
Where does that coating from come from? All that oil?
Yep.
So is that coating essentially a film?
Yeah.
That film is from the frying oil. Mm-hmm. And that, but like, like the nugget on the nuggets, though, that's not a film. They're pre-breaded.
Right.
But I got to tell you, those vinegar fries, oh my goodness, vinegar fries. Fried vinegar. Vinegar fries. I'm just trying to think of different ways that you can say it.
Okay.
Vinegar items made from the French. You know, there's recipes that call for them to be soaked in vinegar before cooking. I don't know that that makes them taste like vinegar fries, though.
Right.
Unless it's soaking them for a few minutes after cooking. I think that would work better. Because I have to say, vinegar fries are the bomb.
Bomb.com.
Yes. Did you used to like them too?
I still like them.
When was the last time you had some?
I think last year actually, when I was in Texas.
What event were you at where you snuck some vinegar fries?
I think a fair actually.
They don't do fairs though in June and July and all. In Texas, or was it a summer carnival?
There was a fair, it was in July. It was a big fair in Dallas.
Was it at Fair Park or something else?
I can't remember where it was. It was near the city.
You don't think it was Fair Park? Because Fair Park is near like MLK Boulevard and
no,
Second Avenue. I thought you had been there a couple of years ago and they had something going on there.
He did, but it was a different topic.
But it was in that zone. Is that Walgreens still there, by the way, too?
Yep.
Because we parked right near there. You parked near that Walgreens also before?
I Ubered.
From where?
From my hotel.
Was that in Dallas, too, or somewhere else?
Yep.
Where was this at? In downtown South, downtown West, what?
South.
Whereas this would be kind of east by southeast, kind of.
Yeah.
This like here in town, this would be like a subdivision a bit east of Washington, I'm assuming. Because with the city grid, the street grid here, it's made to seem like Jefferson's the middle, which is weird, huh? Most downtowns don't do the city like that. because in your mind, like in Midland, I don't think it would be as far south as this, like where the fair is. It would be about as far east as this, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But it'd be more like maybe like an Ashman and Swede kind of, not, or something else in Swede kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of where Fair Park is, State Fair of Texas, baby. Someday in my lifetime, I will go back during the fall and we'll actually go to a football game in Texas like I wanted to last time. Because some things you must experience to believe it.
Right.
And did you say you went to a TCU game?
Yeah.
Was it like more electric than those Lions games even?
Oh, yeah.
How's the band? Do they know all about hitting it big, not letting notes slip, and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah.
They're all like they. Have you ever been in any NFL stadium as loud as TCU or no?
When I went to the I
would
say that was definitely
loud. Well, good job, Texas, because Texas knows how to do it. Even if they don't always win all the time, I feel like their fans are still always there for them.
100%.
Which in the world of sports is needed. Because my mind, true fans are always there. Thick and thin, no matter what. It's kind of like how I am. I don't let, like, when I watch those games and that, I don't necessarily let disappointment from all these hard losses keep me from watching the games. Can make it harder sometimes, but I still stick with them. I still check. I still see what's going on. Even when the teams are sometimes, you know, really losing a lot of games. I'm not talking about Texas. I'm just talking about in general. And I'll come back to this later. So, you may wonder, what's going on at McDonald's? Well, first of all, I am at a McDonald's right now. 1711 South Saginaw Road, across the street from a Kmart. One of the few Kmarts left in Michigan.
Did you see yours in Saginaw?
Yes, I did. And what's going on? What's going on, Mr. Lampert? Let's go. You know, sometimes that's the kind of stuff that happens when one retailer buys out another one that's struggling. And but that Kmart is still going. I don't know how long ago, but they're there. If you're going on Saginaw Road from the north, for example, or on the left, or between Haley and Patrick, and where the Golden Arches are, we're in the front of the restaurant. And I have with me, as I usually do during radio program time, an icy cold Coca-Cola. Now, it still is pretty cold, even though it's not exactly icy. It's not icy because I don't do ice in my soda. Because ice, as hopefully you know, it waters down the soda.
Yep.
They need to find a way to make some ice that does not water down soda. And if anything, maybe add flavor to it to make up for what you lose. Now, Slurpees are good, but McDonald's has slushies, but they're not carbonated. When I drink a slushie or something like that, I need carbonation in there. And that's one of the things that makes Coca-Cola so great. Just that right amount of carbonation and sweetness. It's not like some other drinks that the sweetness almost overpowers the amount of carbonation. You've drank some of those drinks, and they're not that good, are they? And it just makes you think, why did I drink all that sugar? Doesn't it? I mean, it doesn't have the balance of sweetness with carbonation. Coca-Cola does. Especially Coca-Cola from McDonald's, which is the best Coca-Cola you can get. And I'm talking about the taste. I'm not talking about the fact that it's only a dollar. That's a bonus. And let me be honest. Sometimes they can say all they want to that the best things always cost more. Not always. Like at Cracker Barrel, I don't think the best thing at Cracker Barrel is a sirloin steak. They have sirloin steak, they have ribeye, but I don't think that's the best stuff there. Some of their best stuff there is their breakfast. Biscuits and gravy, man. I think their biscuits and gravy might be, I'm not saying it's the best biscuits and gravy I've ever had, but it's pretty good. And I've been there before in the South, and it's pretty good. My point is, though, you can go to a Burger King drive-thru, or maybe another drive-thru, get a 21-ounce drink, and it'll cost you normally $1.90 or $2 or maybe $2.11. Or you can go to McDonald's and only pay a dollar. It's the same Coke, but it tastes, Coca-Cola is Coca-Cola, but McDonald's does it a lot better and for a lot less money. Bottom line is, come to McDonald's to get yourself a nice, delicious Coca-Cola. Or you can come get some ice cream. Or you can come get a buy one, get one for a dollar. There's four different items. I want to say it's nuggets, a Big Mac, a quarter pounder with cheese, and something else. And you can mix and match them. Like you'll buy the Big Mac or maybe nuggets or something at regular price. And then the other one will only be a dollar. That's pretty cool if you're asking me. But they do that. It really is. And before I get into the how to listen and get into the prayer, one last observation. I saw a sure sign of football season today. Annie, what do you think it was? Well, I heard the band. Now, I didn't hear a whole lot of music coming from them. I heard the horns and that, and then I heard them get stopped. But does it only mean one thing? It's getting about time for football season. In fact, we're going to start delving in more into football next week. Because that's when football starts. The regular season football. First with high school, then a couple days later with college. Pros start a week later, which is when we will delve in a bit more. And I cannot wait to discuss games and pick games and give you my predictions. And I have decided that on Wednesday nights when I come to pick my games, that segment, I'm going to call that Winning Wednesday. And one thing you'll want to note, when I pick these games, I'm not biased. I take everything into account. Like history versus that opponent and what have you. If there is no history between the two opponents, then how do they match up? And I've done pretty good with my predictions over the last couple of years since I started doing this. So just a heads up, but on Monday and Wednesdays for a while, starting with next week, especially once NFL starts, is that we are going to be talking a lot about football. And we want you to invite the football fans to listen in to what I have to say. And I'm always looking, listeners, I'm always looking for your feedback. Like, what can I do different? Or do you love what I'm doing and I should just keep it? Just let me know. We have a number of listeners. And while you may know it, you found the program. But those of you who have listeners who are interested in this program, there is a telephone number that you can call in. like to listen to this radio program. The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts. Go ahead and press 1 when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. You will want to press 1. You'll be taken through a call screener. My assistant will let me know that we have a caller, and then I will gladly get you on the air so that we can discuss whatever you want to talk about. You want to talk about football? You want to talk about, you have a Bible question for me? Do you have a prayer need? You believe in for healing, restoration? What is it you're believing for? Well, you'll be able to call in and tell me. And hopefully we can get some good callers tonight. Now, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to open up the Word of God. And I'm going to go to 1 Kings chapter 5. But first, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this radio program. I thank you for these listeners who have made the choice to tune in tonight. Thank you that you bless them. Thank you that you impart some things to them. And you know what these listeners have need of more than what I do. I just thank you, Lord God, that you bless them and that you meet their needs tonight, whatever those needs are, and that your hand is upon them, Lord. You strengthen them. Thank you that you use me as an oracle tonight as I deliver your word. And Lord, I make my confession over this show right now. I confess that sponsors and partners will come into this program. I thank you that finances come into this radio program. I thank you that increases in listenership come to this program. Most importantly, Lord God, I thank you for souls coming into this radio program. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Now, as I said, let's go to 1 Kings 5. 1 Kings 5. And you know what, listeners? A pastor's two favorite sounds are, Annie, let's see, do you remember this? Pages turning? Checks being ripped out of checkbooks. That is, in fact, those are the pastor's favorite sounds, supposedly. Now, we're starting with chapter 5. I mean, verse 1 of chapter 5. Now, when Hiram, king of Tyre, heard that Solomon had been anointed king to succeed his father David, he sent a voice to Solomon because he had always been on friendly terms with David. Solomon sent back this message to Hiram. You know that because of the wars waged against my father David from all sides, that he could not build a temple for the name of the Lord his God until the Lord put his enemies under his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, and there is no adversary or disaster. I intend, therefore, to build a temple for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord told my father David, when he said, your son whom I will put on the throne in your place will build the temple for my name. So give orders that cedars of Lebanon be cut for me. My men will work for yours. With yours. And I will pay you and your men whatever wages you set. You know that we have no one so skilled in sowing timber as the Sidonians. When Hiram heard Solomon's message, he was greatly pleased, and he said, praise be to the Lord today, for he has given David a wise son to rule over this great nation. So Hiram sent word to Solomon, I have received the message as sent me, and I will do all you want in providing the cedar and pine logs. My men will haul them down from Lebanon to the sea, and I will float them in rafts by sea to the place you specify. There, I will separate them, and you can take them away. For you are to grant my wish by providing food for my royal household. In this way, Hiram kept Solomon supplied with all the cedar and pine logs that he wanted. And Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 of what we as food for his household, in addition to 20,000 baths of pressed olive oils. Solomon continued to do this for Hiram year after year. The Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he had promised him. There were peaceful relations between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a treaty. King Solomon constructed laborers from all Israel, 30,000 men. He sent them off to Lebanon in ships of 10,000 a month, so that they spent 1 month in Lebanon and 2 months at home. Adoniram was in charge of the forced labor. Solomon had 20,000 carpenters and 80,000 stone cutters in the hills, as well as 3,300 foremen who supervised the projects and directed the workmen. At the king's command, they removed from the quarry large blocks of quality stone to provide a foundation of dressed stone for the temple. The craftsmen of Solomon and Hiram and the men of Gebal put and prepared the timber and stone and the building of the temple. So, what you see here is God told David, build me a temple. David says, Lord, I'll have Solomon build it in my name. So Solomon started building the temple. He had all those thousands of people laying stuff, building stuff. All those carpenters, everything, all these craftsmen, all the cedar. Yeah. It was a construction zone. And by the way, they didn't have all the machinery like they did today. Like they do today. It was all by hand. And you didn't have all those saws then. Some of you sometimes, you know, some people, I can't tell when they grunt or groan whether they sound more like a chainsaw or a cow at the fair. Same with you, Annie, right?
Yeah.
It's like, do they sound more like a saw or one of those cows? Maybe some of these people, though, because we got to be real. It's talking about like near Israel, so it was hot out. And maybe when it was hot out, they were maybe making that noise to make it sound like a saw.
Maybe.
Yeah, you know, maybe that's why the saws make that noise. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe. But all kidding aside, God told David, to build him a temple. However, he had Solomon build it. But and when you see Solomon, he was a man who had great wisdom. A lot of wisdom. And I don't think he had it necessarily just to have it. Nor do I think it was because, you know, eventually he grew old, as anyone who lives for a very, very long time. You know, you get old. I just had a big birthday about a month ago, and I don't exactly feel old. But he had a lot of wisdom. But in the eyes of God, he did not, Solomon did not exactly always follow in the footsteps of David, his father. David, his father, was a holy man of God. Now, he wasn't perfect. He did some things he shouldn't. But overall, he was a great man in the eyes of God. Which is part of why he was even appointed king over Israel. And it was him that replaced Saul. Because Saul had not been doing right in the eyes of God. But David did. And what I want to point out to you is just as God told David and Solomon, you know, to go build a temple. Can you open this so we can let that sun in? Sorry. But as I was saying a minute ago, though, just as God told them to build a temple, we are to be kingdom builders. Oh, like we plan our own kingdoms? No. We're supposed to be helping build the kingdom of God. How is that? Through ministry. We're supposed to be fulfilling the will of God by our ministry. Whether our ministry is to be a preacher, to be a teacher, maybe your ministry is to do what I'm doing right now, doing this radio show. Maybe your ministry is to be a vacuumer at church. A vacuumer. How is vacuum cleaning ministry? Well, the ministry of helps. And even greeting at the door, teaching the kids in children's church, that's a form of ministry. Now teaching the kids is teaching. But not all ministry is teaching. You know, in a way, even if you're not a licensed and ordained minister, you're just a Christian, when you tell other people about Jesus, you're ministering. Yes. And by doing that ministry, you're helping to build the kingdom of God. When people are asking God, when people are asking Jesus into their life and coming into the kingdom of God, that's the kingdom of God growing. Even though you're not exactly doing what Solomon did, you don't have these thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people out there, all this forced labor, all this other stuff, all these people working night and day to build a temple. No, but we're helping build the kingdom of God. Now, helping your pastor build a building when your pastor is in a building program like mine is, helping with that, that's great. But the kind of building I'm talking about is helping to grow the kingdom of God. The kingdom of this world should be losing more people to the kingdom of God, as opposed to the kingdom of God losing people to the kingdom of the world. And by the way, it's not permissive. It is not permissible What I mean by that is, God will not approve of this, for you to live in both the kingdom of God and to live out in the world. You will have to make a choice. But what I'm after is, God has called us to be kingdom builders. Speaking of builders, in Genesis, God told Noah, build an ark. I want you to go out there. I want you to go build an ark. And here's how I want it to be. Here's how high I want it to be. I want it to look like this. Use this kind of wood, acacia wood, and all these other crazy instructions. Those are some pretty crazy instructions, Annie, weren't they? But God gave him all that. Then he builds the ark. And this whole time people are saying, well, Noah, all the, you know, they're all saying, Noah, it's not raining. It doesn't look like rain. It's not cloudy. Sun's out. In fact, let's go to Plymouth. Well, if Noah's day was today, I'm sure that's what someone would have said. In fact, I can guarantee it. But it was God built the ark. I mean, Noah built the ark. God told him, go in the ark. It wasn't long. The rain started coming. You want to know who all wrote on the ark? Everyone who helped build it. Along with the clean and unclean animals. Two of each type. Two of them. And then God brought that flood. But God wants us to be ark builders. You know, we're in the last of the last days. In case you haven't figured it out, we are. Jesus said that the last days will be just like the day of Noah and the day of Lot. In the day of Noah, people will be eating, they will be drinking. They will be married and given in marriage. They will be buying, selling, planting, building. Until the day Noah entered the ark. That's what they did. They just kept buying, selling, planting, building. If they had school back then, their kids were going to school. You know, preparing themselves for their careers. They were living their lives just like now. I'm not saying the rapture is coming, so right now you should just give up on everything right now. No. You can still have a family. You can still pursue a career. You can still have children and raise them in the things of God and school them and such. But the day is coming. The final day is coming where that trumpet will blow. And my question is, the question becomes, are you ready? The Bible said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm in my holy mountain. It didn't say what kind of alarm. Maybe it's the wake-up alarm. Maybe it's your wake-up alarm. I don't know who still has an alarm clock anymore. Do you?
No.
Well, I don't know then. I don't know what alarm it could be. It could be Reveille. Is that what that one's called? The military Reveille? Reveille? Is that what it's called?
I forget what it's called.
Reveille, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe it's tapped. Maybe it. I don't know. Maybe it'll be tapped.
Maybe.
Maybe it'll be tapped. Maybe sometime it'll be tapped. Maybe sometimes it'll be, we'll just think it's pastor's alarm and it's going off at 8:05 on Thursday night, or at maybe 11:30 on Sunday morning, or 7:05 Sunday night. And then we realize it's the final alarm, that it's not just pastors, because it won't shut off.
Right.
Maybe it's something like that. The Bible says, sound an alarm in my holy mountain, Mount Zion. And the Bible wants us, God wants us to be builders. In the kingdom of God, you know, like when you're in the right church and a part of a good church, as long as you follow God and do what he tells you and serve him wholeheartedly, it's like you're in a canopy. You're in the ark of safety, an ark of protection. And I'm living under God's canopy. My hope is that you are too. Because as God's children, we have access to things that the world does not have access to. Access to divine healing, access to divine health, access to having the curse being rebuked on our behalf, by the way. Not on someone else's, but on our behalf. And it's just amazing what everything we can have as a result of being in the kingdom of God. So God really wants for us to be builders of the kingdom of God. Even though we may not be doing what Solomon did, and he was, and all these construction workers and all that kind of stuff, we are working to build the kingdom of God. We are following the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then it talks about how the blind receive sight, the dead are raised, and all these beautiful things that it talks about. All that great stuff that happens in the kingdom of God. And God has called us out to be kingdom builders. We are the ecclesia. The Church of Jesus Christ is the ecclesia. In other words, the called out ones. You're supposed to be out there building the kingdom of God, advancing the kingdom of God. Obviously, the kingdom of God over the years has been built, but it's still being advanced. Through all the means going forth, all the word being preached, and everything else that's going on in the kingdom. You know, in a lot of countries, people are a lot hungrier for God than what they are here. They're expecting God to move. If a Benny Hinn or someone else comes along the auditoriums will be filled in a lot of these countries. In a lot of these countries where Christians are not welcome. Why have we become so complacent? Why have we become so anti-God in this country? Why have we gone so far against the Lord? Why, oh why, oh why, oh why have we done this? I don't know why. I know that it's happened. I'm not happy about it. But the kingdom of God is supposed to pierce the darkness with the light of Christ. And you know, I've heard of a flashlight, you know, and that, and we have flashlights all over. You shine a flashlight in a dark room or in a dark place outside, look at all the light. You turn it on, look at all the light coming. But let's see, anybody heard of a flash dark?
No.
Have you heard of a flash dark?
No, I have not.
Come find me when you have.
Will do.
I guess I can forget about it because they don't make a flash. They haven't heard of them making a flash dark.
Nope.
You know, because all that happens is that darkness is just going to increase if you turn it on. But we are supposed to pierce the darkness with the light of Christ. That's part of the mission of the kingdom of God. So just as they, in chapter 5, were building...
Sir, we have a phone call.
Hello? Hello. You've reached the Miracle Man Show. Hello. Hello. I can't hear him yet. I'm sorry, listeners. We're just trying to connect to this caller. I am not trying to have dead air. Just with technology, you know, sometimes things happen.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. 989708-9853 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
She didn't answer. But, like I was saying, we're building a, you know, just like how they were building the house of God for Solomon. You know, Solomon was building the house of God. The temple. We are continuing to build the kingdom. As that's always been the goal of every church. is to help build the kingdom of God. It's always been the goal.
Hello?
It's always been the goal. Well, hello. You've reached the miracle man. What say you?
Hey, Rivers, can you hear me?
Yes, Natalia.
Hi. Now, how did you know that was me?
Well, it happens to be that this miracle man guy has heard your voice for so many years.
You know what? You're right, because I used to go, hey, River.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Hey, Rivers, I just wanted to say I have heard most of your broadcast tonight. You're preaching. The message is very good, and you are doing a great job.
Thank you so much.
Hey, and you are right. We are builders for God, and we are the light, and we are builders with God, and we have to do our part. It's a great message.
Yep, we have to do our part.
Yes.
Yes, we do. And I was reading that, and I was saying how the building of the kingdom of God, how, in even though it's different, we're not doing the stuff that Solomon and all those guys had to do. It's through the preaching. It's through the message.
Yeah.
It's through how we live our lives.
Yeah, it is different.
To build it.
Yes. It is different, but yes, in today, this is our part, this is our job, maybe not with timbers, unless we are in a building program, like you said, at church, but yeah, our part is different, but nonetheless, we are expected to do our building part.
And in a sense, the building of the kingdom of God is, spiritually speaking, a building program.
Yes, it is. Rivers, that's an excellent way to say it.
And that building program continues until the trumpet blows.
Yeah, it does. It does.
And so I want to thank you for calling in, because that feedback is really appreciated.
You are welcome, Riv, yes. And I agree with you in the name of Jesus that your words are getting out, and people who need to hear it especially will hear it and be helped and changed by it and come into the kingdom and do their part also in Jesus' name.
Yes, because we have all been called by the Great Commission.
Yeah, amen. We're all called. I love you, Rivers. It was good talking with you.
Thank you so much, Natalia.
Okay, bye-bye, my friend.
Bye-bye. You know, she's, you know, this particular person who called in tonight.
We can hear him. We have to hear him.
I've known her for a lot of years. Since I was like two, because that was when she first started coming to Living Word full time. Yes, Mom? Hello? Hello? Praise God. Let me just check my clock. Now, Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for this great word. I thank you, Lord God, that in your name tonight, that in the name of Jesus, we will realize tonight that even though we're not building the kingdom of God necessarily with timber and what have you, like how they were building the temple of God, we are still building the kingdom of God. And we will continue to build the kingdom of God until the trumpet blows. And I thank you, Lord God, that we will all realize that we do have a part, we all have a part in this, and we will do what our part is and get involved in our churches and get involved in how you tell us to reach people. Whatever it is, Lord Jesus, we are going to do it. Because I'm going to be a doer of this word, Lord, and not just a hearer. And I give you all the praise tonight, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to sing a song that we used to sing at church a long time ago. And it's called I Will Never Be the Same Again. I will never be the same again. I will never return. I've closed the door. I will walk a path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same again. Walk my fire. Soak my grace. Flow like mighty water again and again. Sweep away the darkness, burn away a shaft, and every word to glorify your name. There are higher highs, there are deeper seas. Whatever you need to do, Lord, do in me. The glory of God fills my life, and I will never be the same again. Fall like fire, soap like grace, flow like mighty waters again and again. Sweep away the darkness, burn away the shaft, and every word to glorify your name. I will never be the same again. I will never return. I'd close the door. I will walk a path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same again, and I will never be the same again, and I will never be the same again. Thank you, Jesus. When we never be the same anymore, and I just thank you, Lord God, that we will just take what we learned tonight and take it to heart, Lord God. I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for sports news, the Tigers won on Friday night. They won 1-0 down in Tampa Bay against the Rays. But then Saturday night and Sunday, they lost by a combined 2 runs. They lost 1-0 on Saturday night in 13 innings. Through 12 innings, no one had scored a run. The Tampa Bay Rays pitchers between the starter and the relievers, they struck out a combined 24 Tigers. A combined 24 batters. And did not walk one. Did you hear about this, Annie?
I did not.
24.
Wow. That's really something.
That is very incredible. In a way, being a Tigers fan, it's hard, but in a way, you got to congratulate them for that effort because that is just remarkable that you strike out 24 batters without walking one. That's it. And I just wish it could have came against someone else other than the Tigers.
Right.
Got to say congratulations to those pitchers because I feel like you must give credit where credit is due. And that 24 strikeouts with no walks, no one had ever done that in the major leagues before. Nobody.
So they broke a record?
Yes, it was a record.
Wow, that's crazy.
It was a record. That's kind of why I congratulated them for it.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Because it was a record. And scoreless through 12, you never see that. Not today, you don't. Not in the era of increased home runs. You don't see that. And obviously our pitchers had to be doing a great job to not give up any runs through 12 innings.
True.
So in a way, the Tigers get their credit too for not giving up any runs of their own until that 13th inning. But that was on Saturday. Yesterday they lost 5-4. And in a way, this might be bittersweet in a way because here's why. Both of those games, they only lost by one run apiece.
Damn.
Which means they competed. They were almost there.
Yep.
Almost. But then again, when you only give up one run but you don't score any, there's no almost about that.
Yeah. Snooze, you lose.
Yep. Now, 5-4, that's more of an almost, but still you snooze, you lose.
Right.
Now, tonight, the Tigers are going to Houston to take on the Astros. That's right. I said Houston. It gets that name for a region, Annie.
Why?
We all know what it is.
What?
Because of the, 40-plus miles between the far northwest part, where Tomball Parkway is, right before it goes into Tomball Cypress out there.
Uh-huh.
And NASA. Isn't all of NASA over there in the city limits, even the parts that can't be accessed by the public?
Yeah.
How many miles in do you think that goes?
I really don't know.
Would you say 3-4 miles?
Maybe more. It's a lot.
And does it keep going in southeast?
Yep.
So would you say maybe 6 miles in?
Yeah, I would say 5 and 6.
So the real circumference, you would say the real circumference is almost 60 miles.
Yep.
Is there a way to see that on the map, how much of it is exclusively the city? You know what I mean?
Yeah, there is.
But you imagine it's almost 60 miles.
Yeah.
In a way, even though there's a few other places that are bigger, I still think Houston has the biggest circumference.
It does.
You've actually seen it, that land-wise, it is the biggest circumference?
Yeah.
And would you say it's one of the 30 biggest in the world based in that regard?
Yeah.
And based on circumference, Houston is the biggest city you've been to.
Yeah.
But San Antonio has a really big circumference, too, though.
Yeah, but I haven't been there.
But Dallas, I think theirs is just over half that.
Yeah.
But Yeah, the Tigers are in Houston tonight. The Tigers are having Edwin Jackson as the pitcher. I'm assuming JV will be pitching one of these games for Houston. And to be honest with you, listeners, I still love Justin Verlander, even though he's not with us anymore. I always will.
It says that it's over 50 square miles.
Square miles? No, that's 500 and some.
Yeah.
But from far end to far end, it has to be at least 50.
Yeah, at least.
And I've said before, listeners, in case you didn't know this, I have said before that if I was from that city, I'd want to be to every McDonald's within a year in that city. And I wouldn't go back to that first one until I'd been to all of them.
Wow.
That's pretty. Because there's like over 150 McDonald's in there.
Is it on your bucket list?
I said if I lived there, I would. Totally, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But even if I was just there on a trip, that'd be the only place I'd get a pop at. That way, I'd get to as many McDonald's as possible of the ones in the city. But generally, I'd only go to ones in the city. And generally, if it says Houston and not something else, the way Texas is, unlike some other cities where it's kind of different, like Atlanta for example, a couple of them may say Atlanta and be out in Cobb. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in Houston, if it says Houston, that by law, I think it's actually in the city limits, right?
Yeah.
Whereas in Cincinnati, it's not exactly clear, just like how Saginaw is.
Exactly.
But in Houston, obviously, it means it's inside. Like, obviously, Katy Freeway, East Freeway, you know, all those other ones, Golf, all those other ones, you know, and that, for the most part, they're all in.
Yeah.
And then there's all those other ones. But the Tigers are there. I'm sure they will be playing. Justin Verlander will be pitching at some point this week. But good luck to the Tigers. Good luck, Tigers. Football, Lions, another day, another Lions preseason loss. This time to the Texans, 30-23. This coming week is the Lions dress rehearsal. Hopefully, with Stafford playing, they can be a lot better. If he's not doing good either, we got concerns on our hands. And oh yes, absolutely. I just might call into the huge show and mention that if they're not good against this game, I might just call into the huge show and mention that to huge. I will. Okay, all right, listeners. Until tomorrow night, God first. God always. So long, everybody.